So tonight's shiur, in a certain sense, is really a continuation of last week's shiur. We spoke last week in great detail in terms of the Shittas Ramban, in terms of what exactly the opinion of the Ramban is concerning the mitzvah of living in Eretz Yisrael. So we said the Ramban, in a sense, was the biggest machmir in this mitzvah. He held it's a mitzvah min HaTorah and applies to Zman Hazen, as a mitzvah Tzibun, a mitzvah Sayochid, threw everything at us. There's a real bona fide mitzvah to live in Eretz Yisrael, as counted as one of the 613 mitzvahs. We left off at last week was the Shittas Rambam, that the Rambam, interestingly enough, doesn't quote it, even though the Rambam Uchas Malachim does speak about the wonderful mile of living in Eretz Yisrael, but in terms of a formal mitzvah, the Rambam doesn't list it on the count of 613, which raised the problem, why not? What exactly is lacking with this mitzvah that doesn't make the list? So last week we gave the one approach that one group of Acharonim had, is that the Rambam holds that the mitzvah doesn't apply b'zman hazeh for a variety of technical reasons. So we spoke a little bit about what some of those technical reasons are, danger reasons, other reasons, but we pointed out at the end of the shiur last week we weren't really comfortable with that approach, because the Rambam shita is that even mitzvahs that, for whatever technical reason, you can't do today, that doesn't detract from the significance of the mitzvah. We can't build the base of mikdash today, we can't bring kabbanas today, but still a mitzvah, still counted as one of the 613, so we didn't really want to go that approach. We were looking for some other reason why the Rambam left it out. So at the very end of the shiur we said that perhaps the reason why the Rambam left it out was not because the mitzvah doesn't exist, but because the mitzvah is in a sense part of another mitzvah, that it's subsumed, it falls under the category of another type of a mitzvah. And the question is, what other mitzvah is available for us? So l'chora, one possible approach to the Shittas Rambam is to say that we know that there are many, many mitzvahs that are linked to Eretz Yisrael. All the mitzvahs that we have, the Gemara derives from Sukkim in the end of the first paragraph of Maseches Kiddushin, that's coming up in Daf Yomi soon, that the Gemara derives from Sukkim that all mitzvahs which are Chovas HaGuf, all mitzvahs which are related to a person's body, have to be observed equally in Chutz La'aretz as well as in Eretz Yisrael. Whereas mitzvahs which are tliyas v'aretz, mitzvahs which are agricultural mitzvahs, have to be performed throughout, can only be performed in Eretz Yisrael itself. So we know some of the classic examples of mitzvahs tliyas v'aretz, trumas, maisa, shmita, mikurim, etc., of a whole bunch of mitzvahs that are limited only to Eretz Yisrael. So maybe one can argue as follows, that why is it that the Torah wants us to live in Eretz Yisrael? Why is it that even the Rambam speaks about the significance of living in Eretz Yisrael? Because living in Eretz Yisrael enables you to do other mitzvahs. If you don't live in Eretz Yisrael, how are you going to observe Shemitah? If you don't live in Eretz Yisrael, how are you going to bring Bikurim? If you don't live in Eretz Yisrael, how are you going to do Trumas and Maaseres? So the living in Eretz Yisrael is in a certain sense like a Hechsher mitzvah. The living in Eretz Yisrael is part of other mitzvahs, like Moshe L'Mad V'Domeh, there's a mitzvah to sit in the Sukkah. So the mitzvah of Sukkah, the Rambam doesn't count the mitzvah of building a Sukkah, because of course you have to build a Sukkah. If you don't build a Sukkah, so how are you going to fulfill Yeshiva the Sukkah? So it's understood that the person is going to build a Sukkah, but the building of the Sukkah is not a mitzvah in and of itself. That's why, in fact, you don't recite a bracha when you build the sukkah. You only recite a bracha when you sit in the sukkah, because the building of the sukkah is primarily is a means to an end to get you to be able to sit in the sukkah. So maybe that's what the Rambam holds, that the thrust of the mitzvah of living in Eretz Yisrael is not a mitzvah in and of itself. The thrust of living in Eretz Yisrael is, in a certain sense, like a hechsher mitzvah. It falls under the category of trumas and maaseres. So the Rambam already counts trumas and maaseres. The Rambam already counts shemitah. So therefore the Rambam didn't feel the necessity to count the mitzvah of living in Eretz Yisrael, because it's not a mitzvah b'fnei atzma. So maybe that's the b'im in Das Rambam. That's what Sanachmanin suggests. Do we have any other indications from anywhere in Rishonim, from Gemara, that such an idea is true? That there really is a link between the mitzvah, quote-unquote, the mitzvah of living in Eretz Yisrael, and the mitzvah that tliyas b'aretz? Is there any reason to believe that these two are really connected to one another? So we go back to the first of the Maamar Kamos, which is on the sheet, it's on the last week's sheet also, but I deliberately put it on this week because I want to see it again inside, because perhaps in this first of the Maamar Kamos, that very controversial Tosfos from Ksubas Daf Kuf Yud, maybe a source to this idea that we're suggesting. So remember last week we mentioned that even though the Mishnah, the Gemara, and the end of Ksubas say quite clearly that if a person, either the husband or the wife, doesn't want to live in Eretz Yisrael, those are potentially grounds for a divorce, and the person who's holding back the couple from living in Eretz Yisrael is responsible for the breakup of the marriage, and therefore the husband would have to pay the ksuba. If he's responsible, the woman will lose her rights to the ksuba if she's responsible. So came Tosfos in one fell swoop, and the first thing Rambam comes tells the ksuba is kufyurim abeis, divrei maskil hu. Tosfos says, ein emeri bizman hazeh, that this whole Mishnah doesn't apply today. The ikar sakana zirachim. So the first reason was because it was dangerous, as we mentioned last week. But then there was a second reason that we mentioned, by Amir Rabbeinu Chaim, the achsha the eno mitzvah lo dur b'eretz Yisrael, ki yesh kama mitzvah tatliz b'aretz v'kama sh'onshin te eno lichol lizar behem v'lam and alem. So Rabbeinu Chaim, again, whether it's an authentic tells or not, that's up for grabs. But assuming what it says on the page is true, assuming what the Taisa says is authentic, so Rabbi Nachman gives us a new interesting idea. Rabbi Nachman says that you can't really tell somebody they have to go to Eretz Yisrael today because they're not going to be able to observe the mitzvahs of Tzeis Ba'aretz. So what exactly does that mean? What's the yesod of what Rabbi Nachman is saying? So l'chora, one can understand the Taisa in one of two ways. Maybe what Tosfos is saying is as follows. The mitzvah of living in Eretz Yisrael has nothing to do with mitzvah of Tzeis Ba'aretz. It's a mitzvah like putting on tefillin, like shaking a lulav, like blowing a shofar. It's a mitzvah that stands on its own two feet. However, what? The couple has to assess whether this is a good spiritual move to go to Eretz Yisrael. So normally, it's a wonderful thing. It's a gewaldige thing to go to Eretz Yisrael. You chap around the mitzvah of living in Eretz Yisrael. That's great. That's what could be bad? What could be wrong? So comes Rabbi Nachman and says, I'll tell you what could be bad. You're going to go to Eretz Yisrael and there's not going to be any food to eat. So you're going to have to violate the Dinim of Terumah and Maaseh. And you're going to have to plant your own Shemitah. And you're going to have to do all the Isurim in Eretz Yisrael. So now the couple has to reassess and say, wait a second, does this really make any sense? True, by going to Eretz Yisrael we'll fulfill a mitzvah of Yishev Eretz Yisrael, that's true. But on the downside, we're going to violate Tevel and Shemitah, and who knows what we're going to violate. So that's a cheshbon. So now it's not so poshut anymore. Where there's not a mishnah where it was possible to live in Eretz Yisrael and perform the mitzvah of Tzeis Ba'aretz. So then it was a no brainer. Of course you have to go to Eretz Yisrael. What's the shaila? And one part of the couple, one member says yes, one says no. The person who says no is in the wrong. Whereas there's manazet, not so poshut. There's manazet. The husband saying we got to go to Eretz Yisrael, and the wife saying yeah, but we have to keep kosher. So now each one of them has a leg to stand on. So that's what Rabbi Nachman is saying, that you can't hold one party responsible anymore. Because we don't know what the correct spiritual decision is. How can you tell people to go to Eretz Yisrael and they're going to violate a virus in the process? That's one possible pshat in this Tosfos. If that's the pshat in the Tosfos, then Tosfos is not linking the mitzvah of Eretz Yisrael to mitzvah Tzeis Ba'aretz. Tosfos is just throwing mitzvah Tzeis Ba'aretz into the calculation, into the cheshbon. What's the more correct decision to make? But maybe Tosfos is saying a different vort lagam. Maybe what Tosfos Ben Chaim is saying is like this, that the person who says, let's go off to Eretz Yisrael, alone now, we're going to go to Eretz Yisrael, but we know we're not going to perform the mitzvah. Shemitah is not going to be Shemitah, and Truma is not going to be Truma, Ma'is is not going to be Ma'is, and Lechet is not going to be Lechet, and all is not going to be Lechet. We're not going to keep any of the mitzvah of Tzeis Ba'aretz. Guess what? That's not a mitzvah of Yishev Eretz Yisrael. The mitzvah of Yishev Eretz Yisrael doesn't mean to move to Eretz Yisrael and do a virus. The mitzvah of Yishev Eretz Yisrael is to go to Eretz Yisrael and do what we're supposed to do in Eretz Yisrael. We're supposed to do the mitzvah of Tzeis Ba'aretz. So maybe that's what behind Rabbeinu Chaya. Maybe that's what Tosfos meant in Lomdos, that this manazeh that never again. This manazeh doesn't mean today, 2008. This manazeh in the 1100s, when it was not shaykh, it wasn't physically able to perform the mitzvah of Tzeis Ba'aretz properly. So then, what are you going for? To go stam to go to Eretz Yisrael and not perform the mitzvah is a chisaron in the very mitzvah of Yishev Eretz Yisrael. So if one reads this Tosfos the second way, this razzle dazzle lomdish way, so it comes out what Tosfos is saying is arbir in the Daf Rambam. It's the same thing, that the mitzvah, quote unquote, of living in Eretz Yisrael, it's a wonderful mitzvah. But the mitzvah only makes sense in the context of mitzvah Tzeis Ba'aretz. The purpose of the mitzvah is to observe mitzvah Tzeis Ba'aretz. The corollary of that statement is, if you're not going to be able to form the mitzvah Tzeis Ba'aretz properly, then it's no real inyan to go. Then you don't gain anything by going in the first place. So this idea that we haven't found any rishon that says it explicitly, we haven't found any rishon that says namish pem lohei, that the mitzvah to live in Eretz Yisrael depends on mitzvah Tzeis Ba'aretz. We said it Pidasa Rabbam, because we didn't have any better pshat from last week. We're claiming as a possibility in the Dasa Tosfos, but we have to be intellectually honest. We're not so sure this Tosfos is right in the first place, because many Achronim questioned the authenticity of this Tosfos. We said last week, maybe it was a Talmud Torah, but we're going to give Tosfos the benefit of the doubt that this is an authentic Tosfos. But even if it's an authentic Tosfos, we're not sure we have the right pshat in the Tosfos. We're not sure the Tosfos meant what we stepped into the Tosfos. So we're still standing on very shaky ground to develop this idea that living in Eretz Yisrael is primarily a goal oriented towards the mitzvah Tzeis Ba'aretz. We haven't yet found anyone who says it mamish b'feirush. So there may be a machlekes in the Rishonim that we spoke a little bit about in the Kol HaBoker at the beginning of the year, in terms of the very beginning of Maseches Gittin, that may also weigh in terms of the Shilas. So we just need a little bit of a background just to appreciate what the next Raya is all about, where the Rishonim may have something a little bit more explicit to say about this topic. So the very first Mishnah, Maseches Gittin, which per se should have really nothing to do with Eretz Yisrael, but the first Mishnah, Maseches Gittin, tells us that a maybe get Mimdina Sayyam, if a person brings a get from far away, from Chutz Laaretz, so if it's a shaliach, an agent who's bringing the get, so he has to testify when he brings the get, b'fanei nechta, b'fanei nechta. He has to say that the get was written in his presence and the get was signed in his presence. Why is that necessary? It's the whole sugya in the Gemara, first five lines of Maseches Gittin. Many yeshivas, it takes them the whole year and they only get the Daf Hei. So the Bacharim think that all of Gittin is all about Lefai Nech, Lefai Nech. They don't realize that's only the first 5 lots. There's another 85 lots after, but they never make it. And next year they learn Masechus Bavakama, so they get lost in the shovel. So that's why I always encourage the Tamidim. They should always finish Masechus. They need to learn 10 lots, 15 lots, whatever you learn in Shia in the morning, the rest of it in day and night, whenever you have time. You should finish the Masechus. Otherwise you end up with a very, very, very small perspective of what the Masechus is all about. So anyway, so the first sugya in Gittin speaks about the different reasons that the halacha requires of the shaliach to say b'fanenechtem. So Rabba says the reason is because we're afraid maybe the get wasn't written, the shema wasn't written for the purpose of the woman, the people in Chutzlars didn't really know the halachas that well. Rava says we're afraid that if you bring a get from so far, from Chutzlars to Eretz Yisrael, no one's going to recognize the signatures, we're going to have to know whether it's authentic or not. Again, different chashashos that the Chachamim were concerned with, therefore they instituted this dimmi the Rabban and b'fanenechtem. The Gemara tells us that basically this takana was instituted for a get that was brought from Chutz La'aretz and primarily didn't apply for a get in Eretz Yisrael. Whether that's exactly true, Bizman is a little bit different, but that was the basic formulation of the takana for a variety of reasons. Basically the lines were drawn between Chutz La'aretz versus Eretz Yisrael. So the Gemara has a whole discussion on the days in Masechet Gittin, where exactly did you draw the lines? What's considered to be Eretz Yisrael? What's considered to be Chutz La'aretz? So it's a strange thing that in all places in Shas, the biggest discussion of the Gevulas Haaretz appears in Masechet Gittin on Daf Beis. That one would have thought that these are things we would talk about in terms of Trumas and Maizid and Shemitah, but in Talmud Bavli there's nothing in Seder's Run. There is no Talmud Bavli on Trumas and Shemitah. So the only place that everyone discusses about this is Gittin Daf Beis. So the Mishnah delineates what are the Gevulas Haaretz for the purposes of this technical Din and Ilchus Gittin. So the Mishnah draws basically 4 different points. The Mishnah gives you the furthest northern boundary of Eretz Yisrael, the furthest southern boundary, the western and the eastern. So the 4 different points that we have to know, at that point is still Eretz Yisrael, past that point is already in Chutzlar. So what are the borders? So the western border is the only one that's easy. The Yam, I mean, the Mediterranean, that's it. You don't need a big Chacham to figure out. When you go past the Mediterranean, that's it. You're in Chutz La'aretz. But the northern border, the eastern border, and the southern border, each one are questionable. So the Mishnah says that Ashkelon is the southern border, the Ashkelon, the Darim, the Ashkelon, Kedarim. So the Mishnah says that Ashkelon and further south is treated like Chutz La'aretz. Whether or not this is the same Ashkelon today is highly questionable, but that's the border that the Mishnah gives. Then the Mishnah speaks about the border in the east, about Rechem, the Mizrach, that from Rechem, the town of Rechem, and further east is considered to be Chutz La'aretz. And the border that we're concerned with is the border of Akko. The Mishnah says that the northern city of Akko, again, whether that's the same thing or not the same thing, is also questionable, but the northern city of Akko, that's already considered to be Chutz La'aretz. So the Gemara, the Rishonim, and that Sugya pick up on this whole discussion of a whole complicated discussion about Akko. What is Akko? Is Akko part of Eretz Yisrael? Is Akko part of Chutz La'aretz? What's the story with Akko? So one of the sugyas that appears that the Rishonim pick up on is in the second of the Mamre Kamos. The Gemara Masechet Gittin Daf Ayin Vav on the Beis is talking about a little bit of a different issue in Gittin. But Amar of Safra, Safra tells us, Ki havu miftere rabbanon mehadadei, ba'akko havu miftere, mishum da'asa lotzeis be'eretz l'chutz la'aretz. That when the rabbanim would separate from one another, where were they separating? So Rashi explains that the Tamidim would come from Chutz La'aretz, they would come to spend a year learning Eretz Yisrael, like this man is that. So they would come, in the olden days, they would come to spend time in Eretz Yisrael, they'd stay for a few years. And I remember when the people who used to learn Eretz Yisrael 20, 30 years ago, so they would go off to Eretz Yisrael, they would come home 3 years later, they spoke to their parents once every 6 months, but Koshi. Bizman Hazeh, Mamashia. He goes there, he's home for Sukkot with his parents, they have a Chanukah, he's home for Purim, he's back for Pesach, and then he's on the phone with his parents every day. So it's a little bit of a different experience. But the Maestri Gemara says when the Rabbanim would go from Chutz La'aretz to Eretz Yisrael to learn in Yeshiva, so finally they would go back home. So when they would go back home, the Tamidim who lived in Eretz Yisrael would escort them back home. So they would only escort them up to the border. They would walk them Mamash like 3 or 4, they would escort them to the very end, and once they would get to the border, the Tamidim Eretz Yisrael refused to cross the border. They wouldn't go into Chutz La'aretz because also Lotzeis Me'eretz to Chutz La'aretz. Apparently the Tamidim from Chutz La'aretz had a hetter to go back home, but the Tamidim of Eretz Yisrael didn't have a hetter, so stam to go to Chutz La'aretz for no reason. They don't want to go. So also Lotzeis Me'eretz to Chutz La'aretz. So they would walk up until the border Atot, and then they would turn back. So what was the border? So the Gemara says that the Akko Mavim Miftari, they would come to Akko, and then they wouldn't go past Akko. That was it. By Akko, then they would turn around. So the question becomes, it would appear from this Gemara, that Akko is in fact part of Eretz Yisrael. It means they would still go to Akko. They would go to Akko, Advar Bechlal, but they wouldn't go past Akko. So it sounds like Akko is considered to be part of Eretz Yisrael. The problem is that there are other sources in Shas that seem to indicate, including that Mishnah and Avdeis and other places, that seem to indicate that Akko was in fact considered to be like Chutz La'aretz. Vis-a-vis Trumas and Maishras primarily, vis-a-vis the Mitzvah Satluis Ba'aretz, Akko was considered to be like Chutz La'aretz. So the question is, what do we do with this phenomenon? What was Akko? Was Akko, yes, part of Eretz Yisrael, not part of Eretz Yisrael? So in Hilchos Shemitah and Trumas and Maishras, a lot of sugyas in the Gemara and Yerushalmi seem to point in the direction that Akko was Chutz La'aretz. But this Gemara stands out, and this Gemara says that Akko was Eretz Yisrael. So Tosfos and the Avdeis and Gittin quotes from the Yerushalmi. And the Yerushalmi says, I'll tell you the answer about Akko. It's a brisk of earth. I mean, you would think you would say there were two Akkos. There weren't two Akkos. There was one Akko, and it was split in half. That the border of Akko, the border between Eretz Yisrael and Chutz La'aretz, mamash ran right through the city of Akko. That was the halachic boundary. And when the Gemara says that the Rabbanon of Eretz Yisrael went to Akko, that means they went up until the border, until the gate, until halfway through Akko. When the Gemara says in other places that Akko is like Chutz La'aretz, that meant the other side of Akko, the more northern side of Akko. That's the Rishalmi's solution to this dilemma. That's the Tosfos in Gittin Daf Beis quotes. So the Ramban doesn't go that route. The Ramban doesn't believe it. He says, no, it's not true. That's not, it's like Bavli doesn't say such a thing. Says the Ramban, I'll tell you what the secret is. I'll tell you why is it that sometimes we say Akko's like Eretz Yisrael, sometimes we say it's like Chutz La'aretz. So says the Ramban, in the third of the Mamakomos, the very fundamental Ramban, I mean, I took one, you know, half a line out of the Ramban for our purposes, but the Ramban in Gittin Daf Beis and Aleph, Ashken L'Dorum, the Inami Svirululo Kichalias and Lovel in Trumas and Maisra says the Ramban, in theory you can have a place such as the city of Akko, which doesn't have Kedusha for it vis-a-vis Trumas and Maisra. And again, we're not going to get into the details right now of Kedusha Rishon, Kedusha Shniyah, Kedusha Shlishis. Hopefully we'll talk about that in Sugyas to come when we talk a little bit more about Trumas and Maisra. But comes the Ramban and says, it is conceivable that an area does not have formal Kedusha Eretz Yisrael vis-a-vis Trumas and Maisra. But Chaviva Alayu, he says, it's still, even though it's lacking in what we call Kedusha Sa'aretz, vis-a-vis mitzvahs, it still has Chaviva Sa'aretz. It's Chaviva Sa'aretz. It still has Chiva Sa'aretz. So the Ramban has just developed for us the Yisod in Mamash in three words, two words, Chaviva Alayu. The Ramban has just told us that there are two different halachic concepts of Eretz Yisrael, and the two do not necessarily go hand in hand. There is one concept called agricultural Kedusha Sa'aretz. That's enough gemina for trumas, for maizris, for shmita, for leket, for orla, for bikurim. Whenever we're dealing with agricultural mitzvahs, we have to ask ourselves, is there kedusha here or is there no kedusha here? So there are klolim in terms of Bukhus kedusha sa'aretz. Not every part of geographic Eretz Yisrael has kedusha sa'aretz. So there are halachas. Yoshua was kovish part of Eretz Yisrael, and David was kovish part, and in the days of Ezra they lived in part, and there's bittul kedusha and kedusha liyasa level. There are halachas about when kedusha exists, when kedusha is removed, etc. That's all vis-a-vis agricultural mitzvahs, the mitzvah of Baretz. Says the Ramban, there's another aspect of Eretz Yisrael that's called chibas ha'aretz. Chibas ha'aretz means, is this a beloved land? Is this a special land? Is this a place where HaKadosh Baruch Hu considers to be special? Says the Ramban, that has nothing to do with Kedusha Sa'aretz. An area can geographically be part of Eretz Yisrael vis-a-vis Chiva Sa'aretz and not necessarily be part of Eretz Yisrael vis-a-vis Kedusha Sa'aretz, Lagabi Kedusha Sa'karka. What area defines whether something is Chiva Sa'aretz or not? So L'chora, the answer to that question is in this week's Parsha. I'm going to be Parsha Lech Lecha. Whatever was promised to Avraham Avinu, I mean, the Har Mitzrayim and the Har Gadol Har Pras, that's halfway into Iraq. I mean, that's the Eretz HaNivcheres. Whatever was promised to Avraham Avinu has Chivas Oretz. When the Torah says, Ein Hashem L'kech Abba Mereish L'Shana V'Rachas L'Shana, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu has special Hashgacha Pratis in Eretz Yisrael, he watches the Eretz Yisrael, that's his place, that's where his Ikar Shechina is. So that has nothing to do with the ground, that has nothing to do with the mud, nothing to do with the dirt. That has to do with, is this the Mokom Shechinas Eretz Yisrael? Is this the Chibas Aretz or not? So says the Ramban, you want to know what the story with Akko was? Was Akko part of Eretz Yisrael? Was it not part of Eretz Yisrael? Says the Ramban, you have to decide what area of Halacha you're talking about. If you're talking about Hilchos Trumas and Maisos, the answer is absolutely not. It was never Niskadish, and if it was Niskadish, then it was Nisbatel, the Jews never took it over, whatever the details of the Kedusha or lack thereof. If you want to know, does it have Chibas Aretz? So he says, draw a map for Pashas Lech Lecha, and you'll see Akko's not part of the Eretz Yisrael. The Eretz Yisrael goes up to the Euphrates River. Of course, Akko's part of the Eretz Yisrael. So comes the So comes the Ramban and says that Chibas Aretz Luchud u Kedushas Aretz Luchud. So comes the...
Why did they stop there?
That's a further question. So does the Ramban mean to say that in terms of the northern border, it didn't go all that much further? It made the Eretz to Nahar Paras taka to the east. So did the Ramban mean that that's taka the most northern border, even in terms of Chibas Aretz? That's what it sounds like from the Ramban, which is hard to understand exactly. So comes the Ramban and says, and I'll prove to you that what I'm right. I'm not just saying a Yitzayit, says the Ramban, I'll prove to you that Chibas Aretz Luchud and Kedushas Aretz Luchud. So he says there are some opinions in the Gemara that maintain that when the Kedusha, when Yoshua was Kovash Eretz Yisrael, that was called Kedusha Rishona, but that Kedusha was removed, that Kedusha disappeared at the time of Churban Bayis Rishon. Ezra didn't reconquer Eretz Yisrael militarily, but when he brought Jews back and they lived in parts of Eretz Yisrael and Bayis Sheni, so they were remakadish, that's called Kedusha Shniya. And there's a big machlekes hatanah, machlekes harishonim halacha. What happened when the Beis HaMikdash was destroyed by the Romans? Did that second Kedusha disappear as well? So there are some opinions in the Rishon Rabbein, in Baruch and others, and days in the Gemara for sure, that maintain that Kedusha Shni was nisbatla. That means basically today we don't have Kedusha Sa'aretz in terms of mitzvahs atzlius ba'aretz. Everything is derabbanan today. Shemitah is derabbanan, Chumah is derabbanan, everything is derabbanan because there's no Kedusha Sa'aretz bizman hazeh. That's what many days in the Gemara hold. So comes the Ramban and said, would anybody come to the absurd conclusion that Bizman Hazeh, Eretz Yisrael is like America? Eretz Yisrael is like a regular land? There's nothing special about Eretz Yisrael. Sorry, it doesn't have Kedushas Aretz, there's no Terumas HaMais, no Shemitah, therefore it's not special. Would anybody chas v'sholom say such a thing? So the Ramban says, it's absurd, that's ridiculous. So he says, what's the answer? Why is it? Why is that not problematic? How can we say that there's no Kedusha, yet it's special? The answer is, they're two different halachas. There's Kedushas Aretz and there's Chibas Aretz. So just as according to some opinions, all of Eretz Yisrael Bizman Hazeh falls into this crack, that it's lacking Kedusha but it still retains Chiva, so one could argue that there are different parts of Eretz Yisrael that may have Kedusha Bizman Hazeh according to some opinions, and other parts which don't, and even those parts that don't, they still retain the Chiva Sa'aretz. So says the Ramban, V'afapichen Eretz Yisrael b'chibasa hi omedes. Uvikedusha, so he doesn't mean here Kedusha, really, in the sense of Kedusha's Kaka, but he means it's a Kaddish place, L'inyan what? So now that the Ramban said there's a concept of Chibas Ha'aretz, what does that mean, Chibas Ha'aretz? Api halacha, what halachas emanate from Chibas Ha'aretz? From Kedusha's Kaka, we know, Trumas, Maisa, Shemitah, Bikurim, etc. But what halachas, if any, emanate from Chibas Ha'aretz? So says the Ramban, L'inyan yeshivasa, v'dirasa, this mitzvah to live in Eretz Yisrael, and the Ramban from Sefer Mitzvahs, there's a mitzvah to live in Eretz Yisrael. So says the Ramban, how do you define Eretz Yisrael for the purposes of this mitzvah? Do you define Eretz Yisrael based on agriculture? Do you define Eretz Yisrael, the boundaries, based on is there Shvita or not? Is there Trumas and Maisa or not? Says the Ramban, absolutely not. The mitzvah to live in Eretz Yisrael depends upon Chibas Aretz. Is this a special place or not? If this is where the Ribbono Shlom is, then this is where I am. That's what the mitzvah of Yishev Eretz Yisrael is all about. It has nothing to do with Kedusha Sakarka. It's a function of Chibas Aretz, not a function of Kedusha Sakarka. Therefore, the Ramban says that when you go to Akko, you're still fulfilling the mitzvah of Yishev Eretz Yisrael. There's no Shemitah, there's no Trumas, and there's nothing in Akko. It's Mamash Chutz La'aretz Lagabi Kedusha. It doesn't matter. Chiba Luchud or Kedusha Luchud. So the Ramban is mamish crystal clear that the Ramban holds that the mitzvah of living in Eretz Yisrael is not dependent upon Kedushas Karka. Proof positive, you have places where one applies and the other doesn't apply. But this shouldn't surprise us because this is the Ramban l'shitaso in Sefer Mitzvahs. The Ramban counted Yishev Eretz Yisrael as a mitzvah b'fnei atzma. There's a mitzvah to live in Eretz Yisrael, and the Ramban said it has nothing to do with Trumas and Nais and Shemitah and Bikurim, nothing. It's a mitzvah like putting on tefillin, a mitzvah b'fnei atzma. So obviously it's not going to be bound and limited by the gvulos in terms of agricultural kedusha. But we want to know, does anyone disagree with the Ramban? We want to know, does Taisus disagree? Does the Rambam disagree? Do the other Rishonim disagree? And say that, no, that the mitzvah of living is only a function of Kedushas HaKarka. So there is a Rishon on Gittin, on Daf Beis, that disagrees with the Ramban. That Rishon is Rabbeinu Kreskes. And then Kreskes was originally a contemporary of the Ritva. And originally his Kedushim appeared on Masechet Gittin under the guise of the Kedusha Ritva. For hundreds of years, people thought it was the Ritva. Then in the last 50, 100 years or so, they realized that it was a mistake. That they were written by a contemporary of the Ritva, they're similar because they had the same Rebbeim, so there are a lot of similarities between them, but after careful study, they realized it was written by somebody else. It was written by Rebbeinu Kreskes, also an Adam Gadol in his own right. But Rabbeinu Kreska, so now when they reprinted the Chiddush HaRidva in Masada Rav Kook reprinted the Chiddush HaRidva in the fancy new editions, so they put in, it's called Chiddush HaRidva on the outside, but on the inside it says Chiddush Rabbeinu Kreska. And then they threw in some new Kispa Yad that they dug off from the Ridva himself, getting just to make to fill up the page. But Lamaisa, the thrust of the Sefer, at least the second half of the Sefer, is basically Chiddush Rabbeinu Kreska. So in the Sefer Rabbeinu Kreska and Gittin and Abbeis, the old, what was years for years, was called the Ridva, so Rabbeinu Kreska disagrees with the Ramban. Even though he was a Talmud of the Ramban, or Talmud of the Ramban, Rabbeinu Kreska writes that this is not correct. Rabbeinu Kreska writes that the mitzvah of living in Eretz Yisrael, the mile of being in Eretz Yisrael, depends on Kedushas Karka. If it's no Kedushas Karka, then there's no mile of being in Eretz Yisrael. If the Amoraim went to Akko, that means that Akko had Kedushas Karka. You cannot distinguish between one and the other. So L'chor Rabbeinu Kreskes is taking the opposite stand of the Ramban. L'chor Rabbeinu Kreskes is saying, like Taisus, like the Rambam, that the mitzvah of living in Eretz Yisrael, it's a wonderful thing, but it's part of a package deal. It's part of the greater mitzvah of mitzvah tluyos baaretz. It's not an independent mitzvah. So basically we have raya from Rishonim. You know, it's hard to find explicit raya, but we dug up a couple of Rishonim here and there who are weighing in on this issue. So we had a Rambam. We guessed the Rambam hold the mitzvah of living in Eretz Yisrael depends on the mitzvah tluyos baaretz. We had a diuk and a taisus in Ksubis, and they hold that way also. We had a Rabbeinu Kreskes that says it mamash beferish, but standing up against all this is the Ramban. The Ramban is for sure not like this. The Ramban for sure holds that the mitzvah is a mitzvah b'fnei hatzma. Do we have any other rayas? Forget the Rishonim for a minute. Do we have any rayas from the Gemara? Is there any Maima Chazal that has any bearing on this? So there is a very famous Gemara in the 4th in Rambam Kaim. It's the Gemara Masechet Sota. But the Gemara says something that may be relevant about this topic. So the statement of the Gemara is more in a Gadic sense, but Afal Pi Chein, we may be able to be Medayik something from it. So comes the Gemara in Sotos on Yedalim and Aleph in the 4th in Rambam Kaimis. Dorash Rabbi Simloi, Vipnei Manas Ava Moshe Rabbeinu Likonos Noiz Yisrael. What is Moshe Rabbeinu plotting to go into Eretz Yisrael? Vashchanan Hashem Vaisi Leimoi, so much wanted to Eretz Yisrael. Azma! So he didn't get to go to Eretz Yisrael. Why was he so much asking the Ribbono Shel Olam? V'chi lechem epiryu hu tzarich. He says, what, Moshe Rabbeinu had to get some fruit, he had to go eat some Jaffa oranges, that's why he wanted to get to Eretz Yisrael. Oldus bo mituvu hu tzarich. He had to go get the food of Eretz Yisrael. That was his last wish in this world. So no, says the Gemara, that can't be why. Alatach ama Moshe. Moshe's cheshbon was as follows. Harbe mitzvahs nitztavu Yisrael, the aim is kaim in Ela be'Eretz Yisrael. He said there are so many beautiful mitzvahs that are mitzvahs achlis ba'aretz, and they can only be performed in Eretz Yisrael. Akanas and Eva aretz kadeshis kaim ukulun al yodi. He says, can I possibly go into Eretz Yisrahl to perform these mitzvahs? Adkan devar Gemara. So the Gemara is learning pshat in Moshe Rabbeinu's request that I'm plossing, want to go into Eretz Yisrahl in order to perform these mitzvahs, the mitzvahs for his barats. So tell you, the Rishonim have a deal from this Gemara about another important issue in Halacha. The Rishonim say, what did Moshe Rabbeinu want? He wasn't chayiv in the mitzvahs. If you're not in Eretz Yisrael, you're not chayiv in Shulmas HaMayis. What does he want from the Ribbono Shel Olam? So you see from Moshe Rabbeinu that our approach to mitzvah should be, we should run after mitzvahs. We shouldn't run away from mitzvahs. You're not supposed to try to circumvent mitzvahs. You're supposed to do anything in your power to obligate yourself in mitzvahs. That's what the Rishonim write. That even though, in terms of the mitzvah of tzitzis, if a person is not wearing a four-cornered beged, so you're not mechuyav to put on tzitzis. So the proper thing to do is to go out of your way to put on a four-cornered beged, dafke to chop around another mitzvah. So they quote Moshe Rabbeinu as the raya. The fact that Moshe Rabbeinu was plotting to go into Eretz Yisrael, even though he wasn't technically chayiv in Shemitah and Trumas and Ma'asos, he was begging the Ribbono Shel Olam to have the opportunity to do more mitzvahs. But getting back to this story, so Moshe Rabbeinu wants to go into Eretz Yisrael to do more mitzvahs. So l'chor, there's a blatant question on this Gemara. Why doesn't the Gemara give the more obvious reason? Moshe Rabbeinu wanted to go into Eretz Yisrael to perform the mitzvah of living in Eretz Yisrael. That's, if I was writing the Gemara, that's what I would have said. That's much more obvious. He wanted to go in because it's a wonderful thing to come to Eretz Yisrael. He reached the Moshe V'shaftim Ba. So according to those who claim there's a mitzvah to go live in Eretz Yisrael, so that's the answer why Moshe Rabbeinu wanted to go. What does he have to bring in Terezach with the mitzvah of Luis Baris? So one could possibly be medayik from the Gemara the following. One could suggest what the Gemara is telling us is that really wouldn't be a good enough answer, because that's not a mitzvah in and of itself. What the Gemara is saying is that Moshe Rabbeinu wanted to go to Eretz Yisrael to do the mitzvah of Luz Baretz, because that's the tachlis of the upper. That's the whole reason for the mitzvah of living in Eretz Yisrael. So basically, that's what the Gemara is saying. The Gemara is saying is that why did he want to go to Eretz Yisrael? To live in Eretz Yisrael, to do the mitzvah of Baretz. So if you hold that living in Eretz Yisrael is not a mitzvah b'fnei hatzvah, but rather it's subsumed under the heading of the mitzvah of Lewis Baretz, then the request of Moshe Rabbeinu makes a lot of sense. It's the same thing. Go to Eretz Yisrael, do the mitzvah, it's all the same thing. But if you hold that living in Eretz Yisrael is a mitzvah b'fnei hatzvah, so then the question is not a very strong question. So why didn't the Gemara say he wanted to go in to do the mitzvah? So others suggest the reason is as follows. Moshe Rabbeinu was in Eretz Yisrael already. He was in Eivra Yarden. Eivra Yarden has certain aspects of Eretz Yisrael also. So that's what the Gemara was picking up upon. That why did Moshe Rabbeinu want to go into the west bank of Eretz Yisrael? Why did he want to cross the Yarden for? Why wasn't he happy with being on the east bank, living in Jordan? He still fulfilled the bits of living in Eretz Yisrael, because that was technically Eretz Yisrael. Reuben, Gad, Hashem, and Asher living there, that was technically the mitzvah of Yishev Eretz Yisrael. He was takhavim yotze the mitzvah. So to which the Gemara answers, that may be true, that was technically part of the Chibas Aretz, but mitzvah Lizvart didn't apply, that the Kedush of Shemitah and Trumas and Maizos didn't apply in that area where Moshe Rabbeinu was. So that's what he wanted to do. If that's correct, then the Gemara is mamash raya for the Ramban to split between the two. It means you could have a geographic area that Chibas Aretz, yes, Mitzvah Lewis Baretz, no, i.e. Eivra Yarden. So forget, this Gemara is a raya the other way. From the fact that the Gemara didn't say Yishev Eretz Yisrael, the reason is because he already had that by living in Eivra Yarden, which is separate and distinct from Mitzvah Lewis Baretz. So we have one Gemara in Sota Daf Yedalot, which is clearly saying something about this topic, and we have two totally, completely, diametrically opposed positions. What is the Gemara saying about it? According to those Rishonim who hold that the mitzvah of living in Eretz Yisrael is part of Trumas and Maizos, so they're bringing a raya from this Gemara, and the Rishonim were saying, no, that mitzvah of living in Eretz Yisrael is not doing Trumas and Maizos, they're bringing a raya from the Gemara. So it's very heads up. You're flipping a coin. This Gemara is saying something, but you cannot tell clearly what the Gemara is saying about this topic. So when all the dust settles, we have conceptually two different approaches to the mitzvah, quote-unquote, of living in Eretz Yisrael. Is it a mitzvah b'fnei atzma, totally divorced and separate and distinct from the mitzvah tluyos baretz? That's the Ramban's view. Or do we say that somehow it's linked to mitzvah tluyos baretz, like maybe the Rambam, maybe Tosfos, and perhaps the Ramban as well? This machlekes of Rishonim may impact now, not only in terms of what the nature of the mitzvah is, in terms of the relationship between these two mitzvahs, but it may impact on a very fundamental question about the nature of this mitzvah. We know that within mitzvah saseh, there are really fundamentally two different types of mitzvah saseh. There are many mitzvah saseh, perhaps most mitzvah saseh, which are mitzvah chiyuvis, which are mitzvahs that a person has to do, there's no choice in the matter. If you do it, you get a mitzvah. If you don't do it, that's considered to be an aveir, considered to be a bitla mitzvah. So let's say, for example, hearing shofar in Rosh Hashanah. Hearing shofar Hashanah is not an optional mitzvah. If you're mechuyev in shofar, you're mechuyev in shofar. If you don't hear shofar, you're mevatel a mitzvah. Shaking a lulav the first day of Sukkot, it's a mitzvah chiyuvis you have to do. You don't do it, it's considered to be a bitul ha-mitzvah. That's the many, many mitzvah say are as such. And then there's another concept of mitzvah say, which is called the mitzvah kiyumis. A mitzvah kiyumis means you're not mechuyev to do it. If you don't do it, that's fine. The Rosh Hashanah has no time as against you for not doing it. On the other hand, if you do it, matoiv, if you do it, that counts as a mitzvah. So it gets chayav for doing the mitzvah. It's a mitzvah that the Rosh Hashanah would like you to do. It's a wonderful thing. We want to always mitzvahs layisba mitzvahs. We want to chop around as many mitzvahs as we can. But the lack of doing that mitzvah doesn't necessarily qualify as a bitul ha-mitzvah. So you have different types of mitzvah. Mitzvah chiyuvis and mitzvah kiyumis. I was once giving a shiur somewhere, and I just gave this a little bit of introduction, that there are two kinds of mitzvahs. So some guy raised his hand and says, it's not true, there's no such thing as a mitzvah kiyumis. He says, there's no such thing. I can rattle off 10 examples. Nope, no such thing. He didn't want to hear it. I don't know what he wanted exactly. Of course, there's the concept of mitzvah kiyumis. So one classic example of a mitzvah kiyumis, some people are probably wondering, why is the Gemara in Pesachim and Kuf Chofim and Aleph into this mix? So it wasn't a mistake, it was supposed to be in the Maamar Kabbalah. Perhaps the most graphic example of the difference between a mitzvah chiyuvis and a mitzvah kiyumis is the Gemara in Pesachim and Daf Kuf Chaf. So the Gemara in the 5th of the Maamar Kabbalah tells us a very famous drash, Tanikim say derava, Sheish is Yom Tov Hamasas, Yom Hashviyah Teres Hashem Lekecha. So the Torah in one place in Parshas Re'eh mentions eating masa only 6 days. So Mashvi Rishus, the implication is that you don't really have to eat masa on the 7th day. You're not getting chametz, obviously. The Torah says Shiva's Yom, you can't eat chametz. But the Torah singles out the 7th day and says you don't have to eat masa. So Av Sheshes Yom Rishus. So the Gemara says we derive from here that just as the 7th day is a Rishus, you don't have to eat masa, so too the first 6 days are Rishus. How do you derive that, my timer? Have Dovashra Bechlau, Fiyasim and Aklau Alam, like we say in Rabbi Shmuel every morning, that the seventh day of Pesach was part of the klal of Shivas Yom Matzah Techelu. So the Torah says in many places Shivas Yom Matzah Techelu, that includes all 7 days. And in one place the Torah takes the seventh day out of the klal. So we have a rule, lo lalamin al atzma yotzah, lalamin al kol yotzah. So one of the drushes, the midrash, the Torah drushes to him that were given to Moshe Rabbeinu at Sinai, was that when you have this type of a setup where first the Torah gives you a klal, and then it takes one of the pratim out of the klal, so that removes the entire klal. That destroys the entire klal. So therefore we learn from here, just as the seventh day is a rishus, so to the whole week of Pesach is also a rishus. So yochel aflayel harishon rishus, I might think that the first night by the Seder is also a rishus. Tavad lo ma'amasa simrom yochluhu. The Pasuk says no, it says imam shachiyiv tit ma'asa by the Seder. Ein we yalab izman shah beis mikdash kayim, that Pasuk of ma'asa simrom yochluhu is referring to Kavim Pesach. Zizman shah ein beis mikdash kayim, and how do you know even mizman azayim mechuyiv mir ha-torah tit ma'asa by the Seder? So that famous Gemara at the end of Maseches Pesach. So it's clear from the Gemara that if a person on the third day Chol HaMoed decides that he's not going to eat Matzah, there's absolutely nothing wrong with it. Can't eat Chometz, obviously, but if he doesn't eat Matzah, that's perfectly okay. Is there any Indian to eat Matzah on Chol HaMoed? Is there any Indian past the Seder? Is there any mitzvah whatsoever? There's the famous Shita Sagro, which didn't start with the Gro, it started right there. Rishonim set up with the Gro solidified it for us. The Gro claims that, of course, there's a mitzvah to eat matzah the whole week of Pesach. How can anybody say otherwise? The Torah says, Shivas Yom Matzah Techelun. 20 places the Torah says, Matzah Yachal Shivas Yomim. So how can you say with a straight face, there's no mitzvah to eat matzah? What the Gemara means in Sochem is as follows, that there's no mitzvah chiyuvis to eat matzah after the first night. You're not mechuyuv, you don't want to. But to say that it's meaningless to eat matzah after the first night, that's not true, says the Gro. Of course there's a mitzvah chiyuvis. The more you eat, the more the merrier. That's what they call from the Brisker Rav, had the practice that on Shvi Shal Pesach, he would eat Shalosh Shudas, even though he never ate Shalosh Shudas on a regular Yom Tov, only on Shabbos. Looks like he's a Rishonim, but that meaning is not to eat Shalosh Shudas on Yom Tov. So the Brisker Rav would be mapped to eat Shalosh Shudas on Shvi Shal Pesach. Why? Not because of Shalosh Shudas, but he wanted to chop around one last Kazayis and Matzah. He wanted to chop around to grab one last bite. So in my house, I don't do that. I don't eat a special Shalosh Shudas on Shvi Shal Pesach. But my kids know we have a minig on Shvi Shal Pesach at the end of the meal, right before we're ready to bench. So I take another piece of matzah out and I say, this is the last kazayis deraisa. This is for the Brisker Rav's minig. And the stomach could be yotze to that minig without Shalosh Shudas. You can have the last kazayis. So normally at the end of the meal, I wouldn't have an extra kazayis and matzah. So I take another piece of matzah at the end of the meal. This is the mitzvah deraisa of Shivas Yom Tov HaMatzah. It's the last chap we can get for the year. So the Gemara is clear that the mitzvah chiyuvis doesn't exist after the first night. But the Gro claims that that a mitzvah kiyumis does exist. So clearly you see there's a concept that even within the mitzvah chiyuvis matzah has a dual dimension to it. Sometimes it's the Torah's chiyuv, sometimes it's the Torah's kiyum. So now these two models of mitzvahs, some mitzvahs are chiyuvis and some mitzvahs are kiyumis, we have to now go back to this quote-unquote mitzvah of living in Eretz Yisrael. This mitzvah of living in Eretz Yisrael, assuming that it exists, what kind of mitzvah is it? Is it a mitzvah chiyuvis in the sense of you have to do it, and if you don't do it, you're a mevatlus a mitzvah? So the person who's not living in Eretz Yisrael is tantamount to not eating matzah by the Seder. Is that the pshat? Was pshat no? That the nature of the mitzvah is a mitzvah kiyumis. I mean, you're supposed to do it. We encourage you to do it. We want everyone to do it. But a person who's not doing it, so that's like a person who's not eating matzah on Chol HaMoed. It's not like a person who's not eating matzah by the Seder. It's not a mitzvah chiyuvis. It's not like not putting on tefillin. It's not like not shaking a lulav and not hearing the shofar. It's like not eating matzah on Shvi Shal Pesach. So what is the nature of this mitzvah? Is it chiyuvis or is it chiyuvis? So l'chora, this should depend upon everything we've been saying for the whole shiur tonight. If you hold that the nature of the mitzvah is linked to Trumas and Maisras, so the Trumas and Maisras itself is not a chiyuv in the sense of, let's say I'm not a farmer. I don't own any land in Eretz Yisrael. So I'm a chiyuv to go buy land to go to Trumas and Maisras? There's no such halacha. There's no such thing. You know, last year, before Shemitah, they were selling you $36. You could buy an inch by an inch of land to be able to. You're not a chiyuv to do it. You want to do it. It's a nice thing, but you're not a chiyuv to do it. If a guy doesn't fulfill Shemitah, he's not a mevatel samitzvah as long as he doesn't own land. So, l'chora, if the whole thrust of the mitzvah is and to enable you to do the mitzvah chiyuvis baretz, how could anybody say that it's a mitzvah chiyuvis? If the mitzvah chiyuvis baretz themselves are a mitzvah chiyuvis, so what's shaykh to say that living in Eretz Yisrael is a mitzvah chiyuvis? So if the thrust of the mitzvah is subsumed under the mitzvah chiyuvis baretz, so then of course it's not going to be anything more than a mitzvah chiyuvis. But if you go to the root of the Ramban, that it's a mitzvah b'fnei atzma, so then maybe it's much more than that. Maybe it's like putting on tefillin, like shaking a lulav, like eating matzah at the Seder. Mamash a chiyuv gomor, and anyone who doesn't do it is a mevatel of the mitzvah. So it's unclear. So it could be that this Lomdash Shaila that the later Acharein, the Pesach of that generation have raised, this Eirish, we'll see hopefully next week some of the ramifications of the Shaila, what's the nature of the living in Eretz, mitzvah living in Eretz souls, that the Torah's Chiva, the Torah's Kiyum, L'chora is a throwback to everything we've been talking about until now. If the nature of the mitzvah is like the Ramban source, as a mitzvah b'fnei atzma, then it's very possible to say that it's a mitzvah chiyuvis. If the nature of the mitzvah is more linked towards the mitzvah plays Baruch, like perhaps the Rambam, like the Rabbeinu Crescius, like the Taisus, perhaps Maseches Ksubas, like that understanding that it's more linked towards mitzvah Luis Baretz, that would minimize the mitzvah in the sense that would lower the mitzvah from the realm of chiyuv to kiyum, because the mitzvah Luis Baretz themselves are only b'taras ha-kiyum ha-mitzvah. So this fundamental question, which is going to have very, very serious ramifications of ma'isa for everybody, so this ultimately may be a result of everything we've been talking about up to now. So whenever you speak about the mitzvah of Yishev Eretz Yisrael, you have to understand, is it a mitzvah b'fnei atzma or not? And then you have to also understand the perhaps corollary of that statement is it a b'taras chiva or b'taras kiyum? So hopefully Hashem, next week we'll talk about what real shailas come up, which emanate from everything we've been talking about up to now.
Andy? Hello?
I think you just hung up this second. Not just the second, I lost it.
I can only say that the mitzvah clear signs is a tzitzis nagas.
You're supposed to try to run after it.
You're supposed to try to. Right. Even though we don't have the mitzvah derayis of tchelas, we still...
No, we have a mitzvah derayis of love and love and love. It's a makah tchelas. But let's say a guy just...